This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. Jack McKenna here, reminding you to salvage scrap to blast the Jap. It's 6 o'clock Central Standard Wartime, Tuesday, June 26th, 1945. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news, and the whole gang is here tonight. Rapid Ray with sports, and Harriet is in with the community news.
I've been warned that the draft board chairman will be here, too.
I invited him especially for tonight.
You invited him? But he picks on you all the time.
Yes, he does. In fact, he yells at me. But tonight, I made sure he'd be here.
That laugh is a tad on the sinister side.
Stay tuned, folks.
Just don't get me involved in one of your shenanigans.
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by the National Bank of Commerce, specializing in loans for the returning veteran with the GI Bill. It's all yours, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. 50 nations united by war signed the World Peace Charter in an historic moment today, while B-29 super fortresses bomb Japanese factories. We begin our world radio report from San Francisco.
This is San Francisco. Lyle C. Wilson, United Press, reporting. Delegates of 50 nations today signed the United Nations Charter in hopes that it will unite them in peace. Dr. Wellington Koo brushed his name down on the page of history. The first of the United Nations to be invaded by the Axis powers was the first to affix a signature. Thus began an hour-long ceremony in which 153 delegates moved in alphabetical order after China, Russia, Britain, and France had signed. The signing was on a great blue table with flags of all 50 nations flying at San Francisco's Veterans Building. The United States preferred to be the last, partly because it is the host country, and so President Truman could witness the signing before his closing speech. The President will personally deliver the treaty to the United States Senate in 6 days. The Senate is arranging a special meeting time for the President next Monday. This is a triumphant meeting of the United Nations Conference, its last working session. Wrapping last night's meeting to a close, Britain's tall delegation chief, the Earl of Halifax, solemnly told the conference, quoting now, "I think we all agree we have taken part in an historic moment in world history," unquote. All controversy had been cleared away before this week after 2 months and a day of intense meetings here. The vote of approval of this charter was unanimous. This makes this one of the great days for which the Allied nations have fought and planned since the beginning of the Second World War, a plan to prevent a Third World War. Delegates agree that only the future can tell how well this will work, but it will depend on how much governments and their peoples want to make it work. In San Francisco, this is Lyle C. Wilson, calling Pacific Headquarters. Come in, Guam.
This is Guam. Frank Tremaine speaking. Japanese Premier Kentaro Suzuki told the Japanese people today that they face an invasion crisis unparalleled since the Mongol horde swept over the islands 600 years ago. In a cabinet message issued to the nation on the occasion of the Battle of Okinawa, Suzuki pledged his government's grim determination to defend Japan against the American power gathering to the south. The 77-year-old premier declared at this time of the national crisis, quoting now, "I request the entire nation to endure hardships and difficulties with utmost perseverance and with the defiance of death characteristic of the Japanese." Meanwhile, B-29 superfortresses launched an attack on industrial cities on the Japanese mainland island of Honshu today. The bombers struck gun and ammunition factories here in Nagoya. In a separate attack launched from Iwo Jima, B-29s came roaring in at a medium altitude, dropping more than 3,000 tons of high-explosive bombs on Osaka, Kobe, and Akashi. This is the most powerful blow to date in General Hap Arnold's plan to destroy all Japanese industry. In Guam, this is Frank Tremaine calling America. Come in, Washington.
This is the nation's capital, Brisbane here. Germany may be defeated, but its war-making potential remains tremendous. Foreign Economic Administrator Leo Crowley revealed today that if the Germans had been able to hold out 6 months longer, they may have been able to hit New York and Washington with V-bombs launched from Europe, and jet-propelled planes would have struck at the United States. Mr. Crowley's survey of Germany also says if Hitler had waited 5 more years, attacking Poland in 1944 instead of 1939, he would have stood a better chance of winning. Reporting to the Military Affairs Subcommittee here, Crowley summarized 29 surveys of German industry. In it, he says Allied bombing was a major reason for victory over Germany, but bombing alone could not bring the Third Reich to its knees. Damage to industrial plants was great, but those plants were quickly repaired. Finally, Mr. Crowley reports that Allied powers must be ready for a long-term occupation, with rigid controls to keep the German war machine from threatening world peace once again. In Washington, this is Arthur Brisbane.
The last major Japanese force on the Philippines of about 20,000 is trapped in the Cayagan Valley in northern Luzon. There are isolated pockets of small group of Japanese being liquidated throughout the Philippines. In the Southwest Pacific, an Allied offensive led by Australian troops continues against Japanese-occupied East and West Borneo. And in China, Chinese troops clashed with strong Japanese forces 15 miles northwest of Keewillin. On the home front, soup bones are being mailed to Congress to emphasize their meatless plight. Restaurant owners in Phoenix are sending soup bones to their congressmen, claiming they have nothing else to offer patrons. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has this message from our sponsor.
Sending bones to politicians? Just another indication that Congress is going to the dogs. A word for war veterans from the National Bank of Commerce. Coming home from war, you'll want to know about a lot of things that will help speed your future progress. For instance, you'll want to know how the GI Bill can help you own a home, start a business of your own, or accomplish another worthwhile objective. You'll want to ask about the opportunities here at home, the prospects for the future, and talk over your plans in detail. This is where we come in, folks. You're always welcome here at the National Bank of Commerce, and we'd be happy to have you make our bank your financial headquarters. For every financial service, see the National Bank of Commerce. That's your bank.
Superior's oldest shipyard, American Shipbuilding Company, has been purchased by Northern Engineering of Superior. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
You might remember that just last week, American shipbuilding officials rejected bids to buy their shipyard, but maritime officials on the Great Lakes pointed out that this is the only place on Lake Superior that has dry docks to take ships out of the water and repair them. So American shipbuilding attorney Oscar Johnson contacted the Knutson family of Northern Engineering, who in turn received assurances by vessel owners that they'd give them business if they purchased the shipyards. Mr. E.C. Knutson says that they're also hoping to continue shipbuilding there in the post-war years, Lou.
Thanks, Mike. Police at the head of the lake say a pair of burglars wanted in a long string of crimes in Minnesota and Upper Wisconsin are in this region. Douglas County Sheriff Elton Eckroth and Deputy Elmer Quist found a stolen car abandoned off Highway 35 about 20 miles south of Superior. The two men are 25-year-old Paul McShane, an Army deserter, and 32-year-old William Stein, both of Minneapolis. Burnett County Sheriff James McCarthy says the men are also wanted for stealing tools and war bonds from the Frederick Lumberyard, as well as ammunition, rifles, gas, ration coupons, and two car batteries. Washburn County Sheriff Floyd Bannister traveled to Minneapolis to pick up Gerald Hoth. Mr. Hoth is accused of over-exuberance on VE Day, shooting out the windows of the Shell Lake Hotel. The newsprint shortage is forcing the Superior Evening Telegram and other newspapers to cut back on their editions. Rationing is expected to continue until the pulpwood situation improves. And finally, a Superior man has been awarded the Bronze Star Medal for heroism in fighting in the Philippine Islands. Sergeant Emil Bracek, brave sniper fire and went ahead of leading tanks to defuse super-sensitive mines. Sergeant Bracek and three other soldiers worked for 6 hours under those conditions as American troops were forced to stop until the mines were cleared. Sergeant Bracek entered the Army in March of 1941, and his mother, Mrs. Mary Bracek, lives at 18 East 3rd Street. Jack?
That's one proud mama and one brave son. Thanks, Lou Martin, the recipient of the Copper News Medal, otherwise known as the Penny. Let's check our forecast for this Sunday now, June 26, 1945. Showers in between sunny skies tomorrow and continued warm. Look for a high around 80 degrees. Oh boy, it's music time. Here's Ethel Waters and Stormy Weather.
It's not clever when it's obvious.
Just because you have the Copper News Medal doesn't make you always right.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time. Life is bare, gloom and misery everywhere. Stormy weather just can't get my poor self together. I'm weary all the time, the time. So weary all the time. When he went away, the blues walked in and met me. If he stays away, old rocking chair will get me. All I do is pray the Lord above will let me walk in the sun once more. Can't go on. All I have in life is gone. Stormy weather since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time. Keeps raining all the time. I walk around heavy-hearted and sad. Night comes around and I'm still feeling bad. Rain pouring down, blinding every hope I had. This pittering, pattering, beating and splattering drives me mad. Love, 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 love. This misery is just too much for me. Can't go on. All I have in life is gone. Stormy weather since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time. Keeps raining all the time.
Ethel Waters and Stormy Weather by request from Mother Nature on station KUWS. Hey, friends, listen to this. Kellogg's has a swell new cereal. It's their crispy bran flakes, but something new makes it extra good. Sweet and flavorful California raisins have been added to give you a fruit and cereal combination for a delicious breakfast. So don't forget, try Kellogg's Raisin 40% Bran Flakes, now on sale at City Market in Superior. We've got the draft board chairman coming in. I can't wait. Let's enjoy this fine number from Benny Goodman and his orchestra, a remake of Paul Whiteman's 1920 classic, Whispering. Benny Goodman and Whispering on station KUWS. Hey, Lou! Lou, is Raffy here yet?
Colonel Raffaele is here.
Did McCorkle call me Raffy? Can't he get a simple name straight?
Great to see you, Colonel. How's the wife and attack dogs?
No, they're fine. How come he's so happy, McMartin? Is he's giving me the creeps.
I don't know. It's creeping me out, too. I thought it was understood. You didn't like each other very much.
And I'd like to keep it that way.
Well, Colonel, or may I call you Raffy?
Request denied.
You always have such interesting announcements when you come here.
You usually call them insults.
I set up a very special studio just for you. Anytime you want, come on over. It's Studio Z.
Studio G?
Z.
Studio Z?
Just for me?
That's Studio Z.
Do re mi.
Do re mi.
Well, it was my turn to rhyme, and that's all I could think of.
Right through that door, Colonel.
All mine? Like my own office? Well, that's swell of you two.
I should make it clear that I have nothing to do with this.
Now, when you get there, put on those headphones. I'll take that.
These ones?
Those.
They look like head clamps instead of headphones. Okay, I'm in here. Can't hear a thing with these things on my head. Hey, I can't even hear myself talk.
Perfect. Give your announcements now, Colonel.
What? Start now? All righty then.
What are you doing?
Just opening a valve to Studio Z.
All right, people, listen up. For complete success in the 7th War Loan Drive, Douglas County bond buyers must not seek an A effort, but an E effort.
The Colonel is here to inform you that the overall quota has been achieved, but there's still no time for slackers. Ebon sales are short of the goal.
Oh, this is great.
We're both dead men.
Now, if every resident makes an E effort to buy E bonds, the county will meet its quota. Now, that's a small price to pay, so no griping or lollygagging, people. It costs just $18.75 smackers for an E bond. That's chump change, people, and it's your responsibility. That is all.
I'm going to have to watch my back for the rest of my life.
Don't worry, Lou. He's clueless. We got away with it, so folks don't tell. Here's Johnny Mercer and Accentuate the Positive on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Gather around me, everybody. Gather around me while I preach some. Feel a sermon coming on me. The topic will be sin, and that's what I'm again. If you wanna hear my story, then settle back and just sit tight while I start reviewing the attitude of doing right. You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. You got to spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum. Have faith or pandemonium, liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did they do just when everything looked so dark?
Man, they said we better accept you ain't the positive event. Mine ain't the negative and latch on to the affirmative.
Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No. You got to accentuate the positive,
yes.
I need the negative and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
No, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
Johnny Mercer and Accentuate the Positive on station KUWS.
It's my great pleasure to introduce community editor Harriet Farry.
No, it isn't. It's time for Rapid Ray with the sports.
Oh, goodness, a mix-up. Well, Raymond, I don't know what to do.
Well, maybe we can take turns or something.
Civilians, jeez. It takes a military man to do the problem solving. That's what the colonel does, is solve problems. You can use my personal studio, and that would be Studio Z.
Hey, that's great.
No.
How magnanimous of you, Colonel.
Yeah, I mean, I let you use my studio and you start calling me a magnanimous. That's gratitude for you.
Be sure to put on the big headphones. Now, Rapid Ray Paulson and Miss Harriet Farig.
Oh, after you, Harriet.
What? I can't hear you with these big things on my ears. Oh, you want me to go girls first? You're so gallant.
I didn't know Harriet had such a foul mouth.
Private First Class Jack Pink of Superior is on 60-day German furlough after being held prisoner by the Germans.
also be honored by the Boilermaker's Local 415 at a dance at Hotel Duluth Saturday. Before he entered the Army, PFC Pink worked at the Walter Butler Riverside Shipyards.
There is mounting evidence that the Major League Baseball All-Star Game may be brought to Europe and played before 100,000 servicemen. Colonel Kenneth Field of Boston directs the European Athletic Program. He says the stars could be flown to Europe to entertain the troops and be back stateside for the rest of the baseball season. Because of increased rail transportation demand, the July 9th All-Star Game has been canceled. But this could resurrect it, sport fans.
Hey, what's going on here? Why are they talking funny?
They sound fine and normal to me.
I don't hear anything high-pitched.
A roundtable discussion on juvenile delinquency will be held by the Women's Society of Christian Service at Grace Methodist Church tomorrow. Mrs. Gudrum of McCartan will host the gathering beginning at 8 p.m.
A speckled trout weighing 10 pounds, 3 ounces, was caught by Harris Hemmingson while he was fishing on the Brule River. Mr. Hemmingson says he used a fly bait and was fishing upstream.
Hey, am I crazy or do they sound like Mickey and Minnie Mouse?
I'll go with crazy.
The United Commercial Travelers Auxiliary, working on Army scrapbooks, meets Thursday. The afternoon group will be at Mrs. Edith Cushman's home at 1306 East 4th Street.
Okay, that's enough foolishness.
The Victory National Championship, the first major tournament on Golfdom's summer tour, opens at Calumet Country Club tomorrow. But they'll be minus two of their brightest stars, Lieutenant Patty Berg of the Marines and Lieutenant Ben Hogan of the Army Air Force. Hogan, the scrappy little Texan who was the leading moneymaker on the golf tour from 1940 to 1942, says he won't interrupt a different tour of Army hospitals to play. Miss Berg says she's unable to get leave from the Marines.
That's enough. This joke has gone far enough. Take off your headphones. Can't hear you, Lou. Take off your headphones, my dear. Let me help you. You too, Ray.
I knew I wasn't cracked. They all talk funny. What gives?
Careful of my ear, Lewis. What on earth? I sound funny. My voice. My beautiful voice.
Ha. Harriet sounds... She sounds like I sound. What gives? What do you think gives? Who do you think would spend time and even money on making us sound like this?
Jack!
Oops, it's music to the rescue, good listeners. Here's Tommy Dorsey with the singing of Frank Sinatra and Dolores on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Like wine. What a break if I could make Dolores mine, all mine. laughter chorus. Just imagine eyes like moonrise, a voice like music, lips like wine. What a break if I could make Dolores mine, all mine.
The good time music of Tommy Dorsey and Frank Sinatra with Dolores on station KUWS. All right, it was all in good fun. A little helium hilarity.
Yeah, well, I have a plan, folks. And I'm happy to announce it includes a lot of pain for McCorkle.
Okay, I'm in.
We can put those big headphones on to drown out Jack's crying.
Now, wait a sec, guys. Fellas, buddies. You're just kidding about that painful thing, aren't you?
I'm as serious as the Kaiser, McCorkle.
You grab his feet.
I'll get his arms.
Not necessary, boys. I'll handle this. Just grab him in one vulnerable spot.
Harriet!
Goodness gracious, boys. I meant the back of his hand. There's a pressure point right here.
Ouch, ouchie. Whoa, I give up, Uncle.
We'll go right over there, Jack.
Ouch. Over there? Not Studio Z.
Yes. Studio Z.
Allow me.
Oh, well, all's fair in love and war. That's it, folks. Stay tuned for Sumner Wells, One Man's Family. A man called X. I wonder if he's got a Studio Z. And Hedda Hopper. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, and my voice doesn't get stuck in a high pitch. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna reminding you that the war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Tom Martinson, John Munson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior.
This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.